Visit thevazi@boo1.co.uk. Present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 440. I'm Adam, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello, no quote.
Mary Lang.
Hello from Ohio.
Hi ho, 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 hi ho. And Debbie Melrose.
Hello, y'all.
Oh, good week.
Good shot.
And we've got to have some fun in this episode. Hopefully we've got some feedback. I doubt it, because obviously the feedbackers have got no episode to feedback about, or they may indeed talk about their top 10 of the series, which is what we're doing. And have we got a marking system for this particular thing?
I've just numbered them 1 to 10.
So we're going to give 1 point for the one at the bottom and 10 points for the one at the top, so
pretty
we can
much,
glean.
That's pretty much how I did it, yeah.
Good girl. So can you keep track of this, Deborah? Because you're quite good at mathematics, aren't you?
Oh, pants. Okay.
Thanks for your enthusiasm. That's well nice.
So yes. Another bit down. Hang on.
What?
Yeah, no, carry on.
Oh, thank you. Right then, so, top 10 in reverse.
Master?
God's sake, I can't even explain what's going on.
No, I just wanted to let you know that Aaron has given me a last-minute bit of feedback that I will read.
What, from last week or for this week?
I haven't read it yet. He just said, oh, my word, I think I sent this to you literally in the absolute nick of time. Yikes.
Actually, now you come to mention it, having done that that podcast on Tuesday, made me think that they're able to film or record the video screen on Skype, I hear. That sounds quite intriguing. How do they do that?
Yeah. I don't know how they did that.
Oh, okay. Might have to look into that. Then we'll have to get to seeing you guys again. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Well, to a degree. So this week we're going to do our top 10 in reverse order of this series, last one we've just seen, of Doctor Who. So we can all glean a rounded up idea of what was rubbish and what wasn't.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, yeah?
That I bet you there's a universal agreement on number 10 and on number 1.
Yeah. Ooh.
This won't take long, I don't think, but we're going to do
well,
it.
Well, actually, my number 10 isn't number 10. It's number 295. There have been 295 stories, television stories. So, right.
Back to the real world. Okay, everybody got their list ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
I haven't. It's just, here it is. It's nearly ready. I'm just waiting for notes to update, and then I'll have my list. I did this morning while eating my breakfast, so I'm very good.
I did mine about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, I can't believe I'm actually more organized than you lot. And, by the way, listeners, later on the show is the return of You Won't Get This One, and I have the brand new cards, and I'll explain the new format later on. Should be good fun, and it won't take as long as it used to, in theory. Right then, number 10 for me, surprise, surprise, and I'd be very surprised if you don't agree with me, was Orphan 55. Now, I did give it a lot of thought as to was it really the worst story, and was it as bad as, you know, we thought it was. I think it probably wasn't quite as bad as we thought it was, but it was still, for me, the worst of the series. So, Debbie, what did you have?
Same. It just didn't pop. It didn't zing. It fell flat after Spyfall, and just didn't gel together properly for me, and just felt too preachy.
And it had its first. Actually, that was another. You talked about Skyfall. We talked about the message. There was a message at the end of Orphan 55, obviously, with about the climate and whatever. And there was also a message in Skyfall about the. Spyfall about the the use of electronic devices.
Oh.
So there you go. Forgot that about that message, didn't we? But anyway, I interrupted you, but I had to because I had something to say.
No. I pretty much just had finished what I was saying. It to me, unfortunately, it was
pants.
The worst offering for this season. And out of the preachy ones, it was the preachiest and also the very weirdest, because suddenly there was a mum having problems with her daughter, and it was just didn't know what it wanted to be.
Okay. Kirby, what did you think?
Number 295, Orphan 55.
Okay.
The absolutely worst, or it was horrible.
Was it? So you didn't like it then?
Just plain horrible.
Okay.
And I'll never watch Doctor Who again. No, of course.
Mary, what did you think?
Well, making half of my prediction come true.
Yeah.
Orphan 55 is number 10.
Yes.
And I think it was every bit as bad as we thought it was. Unoriginal, depressing, preachy, and few things in it made very much sense.
Yes. That was the problem with it. I know it's not meant to make sense all the time, but just didn't know what it wanted to be.
Yeah.
So, and if my calculations are correct, that Orphan 55 should get 4 points, which is an unassailable at the bottom of the charts.
It has got 4 points.
So, moving up to my number 9. That was difficult, actually, this part of the chart. A little bit difficult
nine.
To...
Number nine.
Kirby.
Shut up, Kirby.
Hey, he's the Beatles fan.
I am, but I'm not talking... This isn't a Beatles podcast. Just shut your face. Can You Hear Me was my number 9.
Yes, I can hear you.
Now, Can You Hear Me, as far as I can remember, is the one... was that the sort of mental... The mental health episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Again,
these are all
the
quite close together.
And all that, yeah.
987 are quite close together in regards to jumbling around. But I will say, Can You Hear Me is a lot better than Orphan 55. So it's gone from being pretty, really pants back to sort of being a meh sort of thing. It's not as if I didn't actually enjoy it. It was quite painful to watch. But again, I did say at the time, it's quite an important message. Quite an important message to get across. And I quite like some of the sort of roads they were going down in regards to the story. I just found it a bit depressing, even though it's supposed to be at the end, you know what I mean? It's just...
Can I quote you, too painful to watch?
Yeah. No, painful not because it was rubbish, but because of the subject matter. It was quite, you know, as I've said at the time, it did obviously make us think about our own mental health issues, which I think is what it was designed to do. But and I think that's important, but... For me, watching Doctor Who or watching Star Trek The Next Generation or anything like that is to take me away from my troubles. And
it takes you away.
Yes, and just engage in a bit of fantasy. And mental health is a bit too real for me. But there you go. What do you think then, Debbie?
Actually, I agree. Can You Hear Me was my number 9. But it was a toss-up between, unfortunately, that and Praxis for me. And I was umming and arming, which is why I watched them all again this week. Because, cool. As Kirby said, how did I have the time? I did have the time, so I did it.
Okay.
And, I just felt with it. It was a good story. It was a good idea. But, again, why are we being hit with all the sort of the telling us off about stuff, you know, and not caring enough when actually we do care and we just want a little bit of escapism. And I felt that this was just along too much on that route. It was starting out such a good idea with the prisoner being with the planets, you know, being crushed between the planets. And that was just brilliant. But then it just all boiled down to being about the companions again and just it sort of tailed off. It's like these great immortals. What happened, you know, just, yeah. So, number 9 for me, 2 points.
Okay. Oh, I can hear myself. Isn't that weird? Kirby.
Well, as with Debbie, my 8 and 9 are the same too, but actually my number 9 is Praxeus.
Okay.
It was just... I just didn't... I liked it a little less than Can You Hear Me.
Fair dues.
Huh? Any particular reason?
You just did liked it a little.
It didn't click. It didn't click. And it had its good moments. These all had their good moments, except for Orphan 55. Mm. I liked Yaz's...
Completely devoid of good moments.
I liked Yaz's increased role as a companion and her business about the new planet and everything, but... this, and but the guy who was pecked to death on the beach that completely forgot about. So just it's a slight bit less than Can You Hear Me.
Okay, so it's Praxeus for you at number 9. Yeah. I was funny you said about you liked Yaz's new role. I was thinking maybe she'd gone to Subway for a bit, but then you changed it in the show to sort of to de-confuse me. Mary, what was your number 9?
My number 9 is Can You Hear Me?
Yes. There you go.
My notes on that are that it's slow moving, too much exposition, and very little actual story.
Fair enough. Sums it up rather well. So therefore, we move to number 8, which I think we, because you lot have given it all away a little bit. Praxeus for me. I had to keep on looking up to see which episode Praxeus was.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I did too as well.
Totally forgot.
Yeah, that's all to do with sort of wasn't it like a virus which is plastic based and crows and plastic crows and. Plastic.
I loved the animatronics.
Yeah, I like that too. It reminded me of Survival, the same sort of cat, sort of crows stroke cat animatronics. But yeah, it was okay, but it was a bit, again, bashed over the head with the plastics at the end.
If I could say something, I think that what you just said about having to look up which one it was was the kicker that made it number 9 for me, because it just is completely forgettable.
Well, for me, that was Can You Hear Me also. I had to look that one up, too, to see what
I didn't have a word, Can You Hear Me? Debbie, what was your number 8? Oh, it would have been Praxeus, wouldn't it? Oh, we know this, don't we? Because you've sort of talked about why this is 8 and 9 are quite close together and stuff like that.
I just think with Praxeus as well, it was more enjoyable baddie, the way that they just get coated and then splat. It was a bit more of the sort of the peril involved in it as well. I mean, not that it wasn't in Can You Hear Me, but it was just like the immediate troubles and things that you get when you sort of want to ride with the Doctor, and it was it was a good one, but still a little preachy.
I did like some of the characters in it. I liked the married couple that was so unlikely as a married couple that
they were great.
I did like that, and I liked the romantic ending. It was quite nice. Okay, number 7 for me, because this should be interesting in regards to how we all think about this, was Nicholas.
You haven't talked to the rest of us.
I haven't given you my answer.
Yeah, you'd already said so. That was a toss up between Praxeus and. Oh, go on then, Mary. I do apologize.
You forgot me.
Yeah, but you already said it was Praxeus, mate.
No, he said his number 8 is Can You Hear Me? That's what he said.
Yeah, my number 8 is Can You Hear Me?
Oh, right, then you said Praxeus was 9. Oh, go on then, talk about Can You Hear Me while I stick this.
Yeah, I have not said anything about Can You Hear Me yet, and you just kind of skip right over me.
I'm just sticking a Trivial Pursuit wedge cakey thing on my head.
Well, how about we let Kirby and Mary say what theirs is?
No. Go on then, Kirby. So what did you think about number 8?
Can You Hear Me? Again, I didn't like the whole mental health issue thing. But I did like the animated part, which was quite that really punched it up a little more than Praxeus to me.
Okay.
So those are the two reasons why those are in the order that they are for me. I have a feeling that when we get to number 7, we're going to start going all over the place, because I have a feeling you guys won't my number 7.
But that's what always happens with us, so it's fine.
We'll see. Okay. Are you keeping track of the scores here, Deb?
I am indeed.
Okay, Mary, number 8.
My number 8 is also Praxeus.
Wow, there you go.
And what I wrote down is too many preachy, politically correct themes being waved in our faces. You know, the environment, gay relationships, yada, 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 and on and on. So
they need to bring a character into Doctor Who called Yada, Yada, Yada. That would be really interesting how you'd, explain that one. Yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting. I'm doing a Kirby. Sorry. Are you done?
I'm done.
Echoing.
Number 7, as I sort of did blurt a little bit out, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror for me. And we get into all the sort of mid-range episodes, which weren't too bad, but I quite enjoyed, but all quite similar in how much I enjoyed them compared to the other ones around that sort of mid-range. It was okay. Again, performance is really good. I love the way they made it feel like New York, and I like the slightly different baddie aliens. Obviously, we saw the woman who played Rani and Sarah Jane playing the big baddie Scorpion Lady. And, of course, we had the bloke from Caves of Androzani playing Thomas Edison. And we had the bloke from, was it ER, playing Nikola Tesla?
Yeah.
So we had a good cast in it, really, and it did really feel like what it was supposed to be. And, I quite enjoyed it, but again, not as much as others. So it's difficult, because some of these are very close together for me in regards to, mm-hmm. how to rate them.
For me, this is close to, number six, in number five or six, if you see what I mean. There's the whole group of them where it's like,
So I just had to look at it. Did I like that one better than that one? And that's just how this part of the table is worked out. So it was okay, but not as good as others. What did you think then, Debbie?
Same, Nikola Tesla, but it was very close to Villa, and it was ramming an iron between those two for this one. And I just wasn't sure really why I went for this one for number number seven. But I really like the whole idea of it, the whole idea of Nikola Tesla and everybody, just being all together, him being the engineer and that was chosen, and the Scorpion people. It was just really good Doctor Who, but it wasn't up there with quite a few of the other episodes for me in this season. So there you go.
Laurie Nix has come on and said, hello, sorry I'm late. Not good enough, Laurie. Right then, Kirby.
Yeah, my 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all just kind of jumbled together as
well. So what's number 7 we're talking about, mate?
But number 7 to me is, I'm going to go, you guys will probably not agree with this one.
Yeah, get on with it.
Spyfall Part 2.
Okay, why?
It just did not, it wasn't a satisfying conclusion to Spyfall Part 1, which is, I've got way further up the list.
Okay.
And the creatures, at the end, the light creatures, whatever they were, the Master got away from them, but they're no longer real baddies. I mean, what's going on there? it was disappointing.
Mary, what was your number 7?
My number 7 is The Haunting of Villa Diodata. And what I noted on it was that it drags on, that only the final 10 minutes are really worth paying attention to. The rest of it to me just felt like, I'm marking.
Yeah, okay. Sounds about right then. You got those scores in your...
When the Lone Cyberman shows up, because that's carrying an arc that I've been waiting for.
Okay. Debbie, have you got the scores all
I have.
Good.
Yeah,
We'll move on. Did I miss anybody?
No.
Good. Number 6 then. For me was The Haunting of Villa Diodati. which again was a pretty good episode, and of course the Lone Cyberman. I like the house that sort of, when I looked in hindsight, reminded me of Ghostlight a little bit. And sort of mixed between Ghostlight and Castrovalva and that sort of thing. A good balance of comedy, science fiction, magic, and classical characters. So I've really quite enjoyed it, but it wasn't, again, it was not as much of others. That's simply how I've worked that one out. And Debbie, what did you think? What's your number 6?
As I alluded to, it's the same.
Goodness, you've been reading my notes.
I'm not reading your notes. It just happens that this is the way it is at the moment. Honestly.
Great minds.
I love the concept of the house and just the classic use of just walking out of a room and walking straight back into it and that sort of thing. I'm really enjoying that. And that's what set it above, the Nikola Tesla's episode, because I just love the use of a scary house. I'm a bit of a sucker for that sort of thing. I love things like House on Haunted Hill.
And a scary Cyberman at last.
Yes, yeah. He was brilliant. I love the use of him and just love the whole, you know, it was a nice, good, creepy episode, and that's why it's there right in sort of the middle for me. So, yeah, there we go.
Kirby, what's your number six?
My number six, Ascension of the Cybermen.
Oh.
I told you, I'm going to be way different from you guys. It was necessary to lead into Timeless Children, but it was too long, and we're introducing and killing off characters, and just the Obi-Wan wasn't really explained even in Timeless Children, and it just not it's good. Number six isn't bad, but it's just not that great.
Mary? Mary?
My number six is Spyfall, part one.
Mm.
I saw it as just a lot of setup.
Yeah.
My earlier notes reaffirmed it was lazy writing. and other than being amusing, the companions are pretty useless.
It does have the lovely reveal of the Master in it, though, which is really quite good.
Yeah. You know, anything that contributed to the arc, you know, kind of moves these up a little bit in the rankings. Okay.
You Americans like your arcs, don't you?
We do.
Was Noah American? okay, moving up to number five. For me, it was Spyfall Part 1, for much the same reason as Mary just said. But like I said, it did have the big reveal of the Master, but what it lacked for me, disappointment wise, apart from lots and lots of setup, was the very quick killing off of Stephen Fry, which I was quite looking forward to seeing in Doctor mm-hmm. Who. And then, you know, he's a big Doctor Who fan, he's quite a good actor, he's well known around the world, so let's kill him really quickly. Very disappointed mm-hmm. about that. Debbie, what about you?
My one for this one is actually Spyfall Part 2.
Oh.
Yes, so slightly different there.
Ooh.
But because in this one again it was a good one, it'd been set up well, we were now going through time, but I didn't like the easy way that the Doctor kind of resolved everything, how suddenly the TARDIS is absolutely behaving itself for her every time she gets in it, because that was part of the fun of the original Doctor Who, you know, and it sort of fell a bit more flat, like when he suddenly killed off his mum in it and yeah, that sort of thing. It just didn't run as... I mean, it was fun, but it didn't run as much fun as... it was a toss-up for me between Spyfall Part 1 and 2 for this, but it wasn't as good as the reveal in Spyfall Part 1, so that's why Spyfall Part 2 is that one for me.
Okay, Kirby.
Number 5?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
No, you get a point deducted, you didn't say it right. Okay, I'm only joking. Yeah, go on then. What about the Haunting of Villa Diodati then, Kirby?
I liked it better than Ascension of the Cybermen. I didn't like it the first time through.
Hmm.
As I said before, and a lot of these I did not like the first time through,
yeah.
Which is, I think, Chibb's problem, because he needs to make it so that you can understand all of the story the first time through, and he didn't. I love the house, and my favorite part was the butler.
Right. Oh, yeah, he was good, yeah. Mary?
My number five is Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror.
Ah.
I thought it was a little more interesting story than the ones previous to this for me, and I thought the acting in it was really good, but it does let us down at the end. It was a very unsatisfying finish to it, so that was my number five.
Okay, right. So moving into the starring episodes of the series. Before we do that, something has actually come through on the feed. We've got Joe Briscoe who says, if Orphan 55 had been in Series 11, I think we would have all rated it higher.
Do you agree with that? No.
Oh, Kirby says no.
Probably not, but, you know, it tells you how bad Season 11 was.
Season 11 was bad, but no.
Ooh, steady on Kirby's getting cross, everyone. Okay, right, so number four for me was Ascension of the Cybermen. Again, I because obviously it's another sort of build-up episode, isn't it, to the finale? And but it was a bit sort of, oh, come on, where's Jack? Oh, and he's not, and eventually he didn't turn up. He never turned up. You know, it's like you're just waiting for characters that had been earlier on that you sort of were quite impressed with to show up somewhere along the line. And then we had this mystery, you know, chap who was like Obi-Wan Kenobi, who, you know, again, he was okay at the end. They explained him, but it was all a bit too, oh, come on, let's get on with it. Yeah, but it was still pretty good, you know. Seeing Gallifrey and, of course, the Master with another big reveal, which you half expected to happen, to be fair. But, yeah, that's why I've put Ascension of the Cybermen at number 4. Debbie, I'll be interested to hear what you've done.
I've actually, well, I alluded to it earlier, it's Spyfall Part 1 for me.
Okay.
This one. I love the build up to the reveal of the Master. Yeah. I thought the whole idea of these light beings was brilliant. The bit when they were in what we were too busy, we were puzzling over whether it was a mind or neurons, you know, when, God, I can't even remember her name. Isn't that awful? Oh.
Don't worry about it.
The young lady assistant we've got at the moment.
Yes.
Yes. Dear, I'm so dear, sorry. Dear. I'm very tired.
Very forgettable. Very forgettable.
I do apologise. I am very tired. But, Yaz, she goes in, when she goes into that, we were like, is this someone's mind? Is she inside someone's mind? And I really liked the idea that they kept you guessing and guessing. And for a first episode, it was great. I mean, we'll just gloss over the whole motorbike chase bit. But the bit in the when they're in the casino and she goes snap, that was just fantastic.
Proper. Yeah. So,
that was just the doctor being the doctor, you know, card, perfect. I like that bit. And I love her facing off against who she thought was the big baddie. And yeah, it's not the big baddie. And I just thought that was a good, not in my top three, but definitely up there as a great opener. And I think it was more relief than anything that it was such a good opener.
Okay, Kirby, number 4.
Obviously, I like Nikola Tesla a lot better than the rest of you guys.
Clearly.
He's my number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any problem with the Ragnos sort of coming back, and I loved the fact that the actress was from Sarah Jane.
That was great. Yes.
Well, I didn't pick up on that until much later.
And I didn't catch that until later that was who it was.
Nikola Tesla.
But yeah, I enjoyed it, but I'm a Tesla fan anyway.
Ah, okay. Mary, what's your number 4?
My number 4 is Spyfall Part 2.
Mm.
I did like the theme of electronic devices taking over our lives and how manipulated we can be by them. But I still thought of it having quite a bit of lazy writing.
Okay.
And the theme of the doctor being able to go back to change things just didn't work for me. You know, it raised just too many, oh, come on, you know, kind of ideas. You know, what else could he have gone back to change? You know, so.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we're up to number 3, the top 3. For me, number 3 was Spyfall Part 2. Now, I liked Spyfall Part 2 more than Part 1. 1, because it resolved the story. 2, because I had a bit of timey-wiminess, and we had a bit more of the Master being the Master in it. I liked the superfluous little temporary companions that were brought in from, obviously, the Victorian times. And the sort of rendition of Paris as well was really, really good. And like Mary said, hang on.
Just go, nope.
And then and Paris was wartime Paris. I don't care if it was slightly wrong and they had shadows in the wrong place or whatever. I just quite like the way they rendered that. I also like Mary said about the mobile phone thing, which I've done in other science fiction things, but it did work rather well in this story. And I'll come to you in a minute, Kirby. Thank you very much. It was okay. Debbie, what did you think for number 3?
Number 3, Ascension of the Cybermen.
Oh.
For me, because I love Cybermen and I love the design of the new ones, and I just really enjoyed the fact that we're all in peril again, and I just thought the introduction of the people who joined them in this bit, they weren't just extra people. They all had sort of bits to do themselves. I mean, yes, some of them were cannon fodder, but they helped them get off the planet. They helped them. They were doing stuff and they were all just getting on with it, and the pace was good. Yeah. I mean, yes, you know, the Obi-Wan character was like, you know, we're finding a person rather than why is he famous? Why is he the ultimate person to fight? We didn't really get too much, obviously, because they were so busy going forward. Mm-hmm. We didn't really get a chance to find out a bit more. But it just, yeah, for me, it was having rewatched them again. If I'd done my top 10, I'm not sure it would have been as high as it was, but having watched them all again, in order again this week, it went skyrocketing just because the acting was great and the costumes were fantastic and the settings were great. It was just good Doctor Who.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it as a movie, as a two-parter when
that's exactly pretty much what we did. Yeah. So, yeah, it really did work. It really did.
Splendid. Okay, Kirby, what was your number three?
Spyfall Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the way that the new season series was starting out. I loved the way the Master was brought back, and I enjoyed it. I was looking forward to a good conclusion, and unfortunately didn't get it.
Oh, okay. Mary, what's your number three?
I'm with Debbie on this one, Ascension of the Cybermen.
Mm.
It is all set up for the, you know, the final episode, so it can't really exist on its own. I mean, if you were just to watch this all by itself, you'd probably be done with it going, okay, what's supposed to happen next? and I thought that the Obi-Wan character would be revealed to be somebody even, you know, great, surprising, and wonderful. But
it's like we thought he was going to be Rastalon or something.
I thought he was Captain Jack getting a bit older.
Be somebody that from the past that.
It's really, you know, like frizzled my interest in, okay, who, what's going to come next? So just for that alone, you know, I ranked it fairly high.
Okay, right. This is where things are probably going to go slightly differently for you guys. Now, I will say before I announce my number two that I gave this a lot of thought, and I decided to choose number two and number one over how much impact it had on me in general and how much impact it had on the world of Doctor Who in general. And that was very difficult, a toss-up between the two. But my number two was Fugitive of the Jadoon, which I enjoyed immensely. I could watch it over and over again. Fantastic stuff as an individual one-episode story. It's clearly the best of the series. And I can't really fault it that much, but it's fantastic. It's a lovely ride. It's got a lovely balance of comedy and drama and mystery and surprises, and it's lovely and brightly lit and everything. It's beautiful, and it's a sort of a bit of a sort of nice thing for Doctor Who fans to enjoy. Long-term Doctor Who fans, anyway, and hopefully some of the new ones did as well. We don't really have a lot of communication with new Doctor Who fans. They seem to be quite difficult to come by, new Doctor Who fans. You know, when I say new, I mean new as in the last 2-3 years, because obviously New Who has been around now for 13 years. So
yeah, it's hard to believe.
You know, it's not that new, really. I mean, if you consider, you know, that Doctor Who in a timeline thing started in 63, so this is equivalent to Tom Baker's era of Doctor Who in regards to the timeline of Doctor Who. So I'm saying Doctor Who a lot. That's probably right for a podcast of that name, isn't it? So that's my number two, Fugitive of the Jadoon. What's your number two then, Debbie?
For me, my number two is The Timeless Children. Again, I was weighing it up with the fact that I was absolutely head over heels, absolutely wonderful, love Fugitive of the Jadoon, but the acting, the pathos, everything in The Timeless Children. Oh, Sasha as the Master is just unbelievably good. I absolutely loved him. I know he's Marmite for people, but absolutely loved him. But it just got pipped to the post by Fugitive of the Jadoon and Timeless Children. It was fantastic. It was great. Mainly it's my number two because it just goes in with the fact that my number three was Ascension of the Cybermen, and it's just like a two-parter for me. It was one big story. It wasn't separate. Mm-hmm. I couldn't separate it out to become, say, my number one because it's one story. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much why it's my number two, but it was high up there. It was difficult to explain the music, the costumes, the use of the lighting. It was beautifully done, and I'm very hopeful for the future, and especially ending up with Shada, I think just, yeah, this is promising, and that's what it left me feeling really hopeful. So that's why it's my number two.
Okay. Well, the argument that it was all one story could be applied to Spyfall too.
But yeah, that's why they were in that order for me as well. So yeah,
okay.
Six and seven, they were for me.
So you didn't break them up.
Well, I didn't break the rest of them. No.
Okay.
For me, it was because I rewatched them when it did change the dynamics of the 10 that I had originally picked. So yeah.
Kirby, what's your number two?
Yeah, if I had had kept the two stories together, they'd be in a completely different order. So splitting the two parts apart, there's big differences between. But to me, my number two is Timeless Children. It was great. It was absolutely great. I have no problem whatsoever with any of the things that it introduced. It did not ruin Doctor Who in the slightest. For one thing, I don't think the Doctor is that child. But that's different. And also, I noticed, Mary, that I believe everyone has pretty much come to the conclusion that that is Shada at the end.
Okay.
It can't be anything else.
But surely that Shada might not be the only prison of its type. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I couldn't understand. Both of you were kind of talking over each other, right?
The listeners would have heard me.
Yeah.
So let me say, you directed the comment about Shada to me, and I wonder why to me. I didn't.
I thought you just mentioned Shada.
I did.
Oh, okay. Debbie, I'm sorry.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Well, it's kind of, seeing as a lot of stuff has been revealed about the Christmas episode or the next one that's coming, they have kind of pretty much definitely said it is Shada.
Okay, good.
I haven't seen anything. Have I actually missed some spoilers?
I think you might have done, actually. It's all, you know, it's been sort of there in the comments and there in reveals and John Barrowman's being a bit naughty about things and, you know, that sort of thing. So,
I haven't seen it at all. But at least we know John Barrowman, Bon Jarman's in it. Okay, Mary, what's your number two?
My number two is Timeless Children.
Yeah, that should be different.
I really liked it. I liked having the established canon stirred up a little bit because then it sets up a lot of interesting themes for future stories. You know, it's like, you know, the internet is buzzing again, you know, because of things that are presented in Timeless Children. But the only thing that made it number two rather than one for me is there still was a lot of what I thought time wasting stuff, a lot of marching Cybermen, you know, and the useless companions, you know, hiding in Cybermen costumes. And because the Obi-Wan was never revealed to be anybody that I was very interested in. So that's what kept it out of number one.
Okay, so therefore, it's fairly obvious, really, as we get to this stage of it. My number one was Timeless Children. It was very close. But the reason why I chose Timeless Children, because we had a cyber army, we had the beautiful Time Lord Cybermen with their sort of ruffs, you know, their design was beautiful. We had a lot of the Master in it being absolutely bonkers, and he was so bonkers and sort of scary bonkers that he even dispatched the scary baddie Cyberman with just a flick of his finger. The Doctor was imprisoned, you know, and locked in the Matrix. So we then see some really fascinating stuff about her past. And I hope she is the Timeless Child, or he's the Timeless Child, because I love the way that was explained and how it was brought into it. I think it was really romantic, and it does explain quite a lot. When you want that to be the story, there's so much of the Doctor's past that it is explained by it, and I also love the fact there was a great big load of mystery still there. Is that sort of deleted part of the Matrix, part of the Master's life or the Doctor's life or both? So there's enough mystery still there, and also because obviously the Doctor Who fans are in denial about the Doctor being a woman anyway, there's also Doctor Who fans that are in denial about whether the Doctor is the Timeless Child. I think we all accept that the Doctor wasn't always called the Doctor. The Doctor became the Doctor at some point around the William Hartnell time. So people say, oh, the Doctor became the Doctor in the TARDIS when Ian said, Doctor Foreman, and he said, Doctor Who, and that might not be the time in which the Doctor became the Doctor. because the Doctor was, I'm saying the Doctor a lot again, was called the Doctor on Gallifrey. So, you know, so we don't know. Either way, it's it doesn't matter, you know, just a flippant comment of Doctor, Doctor. I think they wanted to get in Unearthly Child the word or the phrase Doctor Who mentioned somewhere in the script. So they got the Doctor to say Doctor, Doctor Who, hence the title of the show. So that doesn't bother me. I just love that, all the romanticism around it. It was on the edge of your seat stuff all the way through. For that, for me, just on that, and we all still had Joe Martin. We could add some more. That'd be nice. On the edge of that, it was just fantastic. Old TARDISes. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, that was great because that got me to show Isla a few classic episodes.
And I love the way that they used that as the what they call it, it's not the default TARDIS, and it was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and true to the history of the show in regards to the console and the way the TARDIS itself looked inside the console room. Wonderful stuff. So it was very close, but that's why Timeless Children just edged it. So obviously doesn't take a lot of working out why a fugitive is your favourite one. Have you already mentioned as to why, Debbie, or did you want to say anything more about
I absolutely love it. I mean, you alluded to the colour of it. It was lovely. It was like early spring, yes. Summer air to it. I loved the reveal that the Jadoon captain was a girl, and but Jo Martin, amazing. I love the fact that she said that she channeled, basically channeled Peter Capaldi's Doctor, because that's who she reminded me of. And I loved him as the Doctor. I just felt he didn't really get to become the Doctor. And I think she was just sensational trying to find out who she was, and when she found out and just revealing to Jodie Whittaker's Doctor who she was just brilliant to see it on the other foot with her going, what's the whole time? And that was just brilliant. And I love the whole, although the creepy going to the same cafe every day where there's a creep who fancies you was a bit far-fetched. But you know, that was just, if he was doing that to me, I wouldn't go there. I'd go to Costa. But you know, I loved it. The acting was brilliant. It was perfect Doctor Who, and just that was why it was my number one, and it's been my number one since I saw it. So yeah, just never not going to be my number one for this season. As I said, though, it was close with Timeless Children, but it is just, yeah, that was it. It was just the reveal with her as the Doctor, and it was just sensational. So there you go.
Splendid. Kirby?
Well, obviously, Fugitive of the Jadoon. I have to watch every story at least twice, even Orphan 55, blah, which I will never watch ever again. I might watch Praxeus again. I might watch Can You Hear Me again. Never will I ever watch Orphan 55 again. But Fugitive of the Jadoon, I have watched 6 times. I just loved it so much. It was pretty much a perfect story. And the reveals, and I love the misdirection. How even just before I saw it, I was getting the impression that the big reveal was Jack, and it wasn't.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So that was...
It's not Jack. He was such a huge red herring, but what a red herring.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mary?
Well, for all the reasons that Deb and Kirby were going on and on about, Fugitive of the Jadoon is my favorite one, too, especially because for the first time, I just really sat up and thought, oh, is this going to be Doctor Who now? This is going to be great.
But it
and
wasn't.
I was so looking forward to, you know, future episodes, yeah. You know, but then they hit us with, you know, Praxeus and Can You Hear Me and The Haunting, and I was losing all faith. But Fugitive I
love you back up to attention, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. It's like all of a sudden Doctor Who has taken a whole other direction, and I want to go there with it.
Yeah.
But as we found, even with the stories that pick up the arc later, you know, the Ascension story and Timeless Children wasn't nearly as much fun as Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, but for me, The Timeless Children, obviously that's the last of the series. We haven't so far been let down by the episodes that followed it. So that last one in my memory is this great sort of all singing, dancing, all about the Doctor's past episode and lots of regeneration and people regenerating while they're lying down, which has not happened for a long time in Doctor Who, has to be said. It's just fab. But I will say, you know, you're saying, Debbie, about Capaldi didn't really get a chance to be the Doctor. The episode that he did that makes me think of him most grave. Someone fallen over.
What happened there?
Hell was that?
I don't know.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know. What happened to
me? Weird. Somebody's just tripped over their microphone. I don't know what happened there. No one
in
on the call.
We did that last week, didn't it?
That was bizarre. Anyway, unless there was somebody had a little bug crawling across their microphone, that might have done that, but that was scary. And I was about to say something interesting, too. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, say it.
The episode that Capaldi did that makes me think of him most as a Doctor is The Return of Dr. Mysterio. Because I don't know if it's because he was just basically him and Nardole, but he was on fire as the Doctor, for me, in that particular episode, and one of the best Christmas specials we had. So, yeah, that's the one that I think of him most as the Doctor. Okay, so I've said it, and that's that. So there we are. Debbie is now going to do some calculations, which aren't going to be that difficult, to decipher the actual 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast top 10. Yes, Kirby?
You got to play some calculating music of some sort.
Oh, she's an intellectual. She can do it within seconds. There we go. What did I say? Hang on, before I better find my... You'll like this, Debbie. Actually, no, you won't, because I can't get it to play quietly. I was going to do the top 10 music, you know, that we used to do on the show. Yeah, that's what I was going to do, but I've just realised it's going to play very, very loudly, so I won't.
Oh, yeah, the music you used to use back 9 years ago.
10 years, 9 years ago, yes. It's
the
charts backdrop music. But I'm not going to do that.
Cat's trying to sing it at the moment, aren't you, Maya? Mm. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, come on. Oh, sorry. You said you had calculate.
Yeah.
Go on then, number 10 then.
Right, shall we start from 10 to 1, shall we?
Yes.
So in 10th place, no surprise, with 4 points, Orphan 55.
Mm.
In 9th place with 9 points, Can You Hear Me?
Mm-hmm.
In 8th place with 11 points, Praxis. In 7th place with 20 points, this is where points start getting quite close.
Yes.
The Haunting of Villa Diodata. I can never say it right.
Diodata.
Yeah. Well. That one. 20 points with number 7. Number 6, Nikolai Tesla's Night of Terror with 21 points. And number 5 with 25 points is Spyfall Part 2.
Ooh.
And number 4 with 26 points is Spyfall Part 1.
Mm.
Now, in the bronze place, number 3 with 28 points, Ascension of the Cybermen.
Mm-hmm.
In second place with 37 points, The Timeless Child. With 39 points, I just abbreviated it and didn't see the dot. With 39 points, so 2 points ahead of that. Number 1, Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Well done, Debbie, for doing that. Well done. So there we go. That's our choice, and that's our charts for Series 12.
Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Should post that in the thread.
Yeah.
No, people have to listen to the show. Thank you, Kirby, to listen. Oh, no, we won't bother listening to the podcast. We can just see the results on the filming page.
But you realize that the people watching already know.
Yeah, but there's only about half
a dozen of them.
I'm
going to give the photo. If they can read my handwriting, then bully for them.
He's very naughty, isn't he, Kirby, everybody? He tries to get points deducted because he knows there's a new quiz series starting today. So he's trying desperately hard. Trouble is, it will backfire him because we've got no doublings of points in this particular new reincarnation of You Won't Get This One. It's not starting yet, so don't get too excited. Right then, so we're going to move on to feedback.
Master.
Oh, God.
I suggest that I do Aaron's feedback first because it's not directly feedback on the top 10 or anything?
Yeah, it's fine. I haven't got a problem with that. Carry on.
Okay, it's Aaron says, here's some extra feedback. The latest Doctor Who series is finished, so what could I do instead? Is I'm going to miss giving feedback on a top 10 episode. So I present my feedback for the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode 439.
Oh my god.
Oh dear god.
Should I take
too much?
Should I take a tablet before this?
Honestly, this is by far the funniest episode of the 20 megabyte podcast I've ever listened to. I've enjoyed following along with this series so much, and sending in the feedback has allowed me to get into the podcast, and wow, what a way to cap off the series. It got to the point where my dad was in bed and I had to stifle my laughter several times during this episode. There was so much banter and it was so much fun. I would say more, but I've literally sent this feedback to Kirby just as he was about to start recording the show with Adam and fellow host. Or who knows, I might have actually clicked the send button just as the thing goes live. Hopefully I'm not too late. Probably might be, though. If it's not read, I'll send it to Adam anyway. And then he added one little bit after that. I just wish I had my own TARDIS so I could go back a couple of hours and write my feedback properly, as I had a bit more to say, favorite moments and such. It was such a funny episode, not just because of the bit where you ended up reading my feedback about the voices of the host, but so many other funny moments and just seemingly extra banter beyond belief. I could not stop laughing.
It was a good recording last week. We were laughing our heads off.
I can't remember.
You've been the grumpy episode the week before, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I did that. I think I was, that the grumpy episode was some of my best acting that I've ever done on the show, to be fair.
Acting. You're a natural.
What do you mean acting? It was acting, thank you very much. There's lots of visuals for our special visual people that watch the show. I think you did a great job. You may scoff. That was acting of the highest calibre.
Scoffing affectionately.
Yes. Right then. So, thank you, Aaron. So, is it Aaron? I think it's Aaron, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we've got Aarons and Aarons. You see, you've got Aaron the magician, who I call Aaron. And we have Elvis Presley, who had a middle name that was quite similar to that too, didn't we? Right, we're now going to go through our favourite fans of the show, top 10. Of this series. Oh God, Jeff Waddle's got confusing.
I love his.
More of a top eight, really. He's done it in sort of ascending order, really. So he says Village Idioti 10, Ascension 10, Timeless Bairns 10. Americans, Bairns is a Scottish word for babies, and same as it's a Newcastle word for babies. Judy 1, 10. Spyfall Part 1, 9. Tesla Girls, 9. Are You Deaf, 9. Spyfall Part 2, 8. COVID 59, 8. Paralytic, 8. Best season since show came back by a mile. I presume that when he means came back, he meant since it came back in the 2020s, not in previous decades, perhaps. I don't know.
Right.
Laurie Nix said, Jeff Waddle, yo, don't diss the place the Italian side of my family came from. Ian Bissett said, somebody put the hoses on standby. They're about to argue again. then you did. It was there, and it was Aaron's feedback.
Do you want me to read anything?
If I stumble over anything, Kirby, of course I suppose you should. You asked for this feedback. Oh, go on then. You carry on. I'm gonna see if I can find a 12 bar to consume. Carry on.
Aaron again now on the actual subject. My top five ish. Number one, Fugitive of the Jadoon. Joint second, Spyfall Part 1 and Haunting of Villa Dati or whatever it is. I told you it was an ish. Third, Spyfall Part 2. Fourth, Ascension of the Cybermen / Timeless Children. I think Timeless Edge is slightly ahead of Ascension, which seems slower paced. Fifth, and by extension, last, Orphan 55. Yes. Only reason I can't rank the rest is I need to rewatch them. I knew I should have done this earlier in the week before this post hit, but at least I can provide something, which is better than nothing. My thoughts on them, Praxis seemed better, less on the nose than Orphan. Night of Terror seemed slightly take it or leave it, still cool. Can You Hear Me was interesting when the Toymaker got referenced. Was it that episode? Yes. But also some character development in there.
Thank you, Aaron, Neil James. Well, I thought you were going to carry on there, Kirby.
Oh, you want me to? Okay, Neil James.
Why not?
Number one, Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Yes.
Number two, Haunting of Villa Diodati. Number three, Ascent. What?
You said it right. Cool.
Me.
Oh, good. Number three, Ascension of the Cybermen. Number four and five, Spy Falls. In that order, one and two. Number six, Timeless Children. Wow, that's the furthest down I've seen Timeless Children.
Yes. Wrong, of course.
Number seven, Nikola Tesla. Number eight, Praxeus. Number nine, Orphan 55. Number 10, Can You Hear Me?
Whoa.
Those are obviously in the wrong order.
The Lovely Laurie.
Number one, Fugitive
of the
Jadoon.
Number two, Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Mm.
Number three, Nikola Tesla, etc. Look, I'm really into Tesla, okay? See, I'm with her for that.
Woo-hee.
Number four, Spyfall Part 1. Number five, Ascension of the Cybermen. Number six, Spyfall Part 2. And this way, she's even worse with Timeless Children. Number seven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number eight is a tie between Praxeus and Can You Hear Me? And number 100 is Orphan 55.
Okay. I somehow think, Kirby, that Laurie's reasons for liking Nikola Tesla is slightly different to yours. When she says she's really into Tesla, it's not quite in the same way that you are. Just wanted to say. Just want to clarify that.
Yeah. Jeff Waddle says, all that coughing, you should be self-isolating. Robert Wentz Jr., looking forward to putting it together, but Orphan 55 is going to be down at the bottom. Then Master says, just to clarify, is an episode top 10 rather than a story top 10, which I didn't see until too late.
Yes.
Because my first list was in story top 10.
Mm.
Aaron says, I know mine looks slightly like a story top five, but it's actually an episode-based one, as I consider some as good as each other. That's why I've listed some as the same joint first, and that's why some aren't related to each other either. See Spyfall Part 1, Haunting Villa. I can edit the post if necessary, though, but then it'd be a top six. Reason being is that those ones had the most impact on me.
Re-edit them. Only joking!
Robert Wentz, his actual list, at the bottom. He's starting from the bottom, going up.
Okay, Orphan, you reckon?
Five, surprise. Number nine, Praxeus. Eight, Can You Hear Me? Seven, Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Haunting, you mean? I'm going to carry on.
That's what I said.
You said hunting. Carry
number
on.
Six, Nikola Tesla. Five, Ascension of Cyberman. Number four, Timeless Children. Number three, Spyfall 1. Number two, Spyfall 2. And number one, surprise, Fugitive of the Jadoon.
You can't say that very quickly, can you?
And then I posted my list there.
Oh, we don't want to see that because we've already heard it. Thank you very, very much, everybody who posted on that thread that was put up by Mr. Bartlett Sloan here. All right, so no other feedback came through via email. So obviously,
not even Captain Kirk?
I'm not sure.
I didn't say anything to you. Shut up. Obviously maybe Ian and Alan are having the day off and quite deserved too. Laurie Nick says guilty, and that's in reference to the Tesla comment that I was explaining to you earlier on. Okay?
Fine.
Right, so no other feedback, so that means we can indulge in the return of an old favourite in a new guise, if I can find the appropriate folder, bear with. This is a point in which most podcasters would do some sort of edit, but I don't do that, not unless I really, really have to. So, here we go. It's back. You won't get this one. Be interested to see how many questions are wrong on these Trivial Pursuit cards that have come through. Right then, so there's no guessing who's going to be in the lead. A simple Trivial Pursuit terms, it's a case the first one to get to six wins. You do have jokers. We mean O.
Fine.
You do have jokers. Excuse me. And you do have the opportunity to play the Joker thus. So, if you get asked a question and you don't know the answer, you can then, or you do know the answer and you don't think someone else will know the answer, you have the option to actually pass the question to another player. If they get it right, then they will get the points. If they get it wrong, you will get the point whether they get it wrong or not. But that's part of the Joker. The Joker becomes a point, basically. Does that make sense?
Yes.
No.
Oh, God, right. So say that I said to you guys, right, then, what is my middle name? And Mary says, well, I don't know that, right, and I don't think the others are going to know that. So they pass that question over to Debbie, for instance, and Debbie doesn't know it, so Mary gets the point, even though she doesn't know the answer.
I see.
How many jokers do we get?
One each.
I'm going to be using them all the time.
One each.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, sorry.
These questions are based on the history of Doctor Who up to series 11. Up to and including series
11. Do we have to say I know when we can say it if somebody else does?
That's still an option.
If you say I know and I am the one being asked the question and I don't know, I'm not going to pass it to you.
No, exactly. That's what I meant, because we always used to go.
It's always going to be a point per question.
Yeah. Master?
Yes.
What if the card is wrong?
We'll have to go with what the card says. We're going to have to go with what the card says. If you get a question wrong and it's not a joker question, there will
be. No. I've seen these cards before. And they've got errors. So you're saying that we have to give the wrong answer to get the
Depends
point?
Depends how wrong it is, Kirby. Okay, I'll decide that. Yes, so obviously, if you get a question wrong, that point just does go disappear. It goes into a bonus box. So that's another way in which the game could be ended very, very quickly. I have a dice in my hand, which will decide what category of question you will be asked.
So we are not to go, I know.
You can go, I know, in regards to ask this. If the player gets it wrong, you get the option to answer it correctly.
You have to wait until they've answered instead of just going, I know.
No, you can, if I ask the question and somebody goes, I know, and it's not their question, they will be the one who gets the opportunity to answer the question correctly. If
that player gets it wrong. If someone goes, I know, and then decides to throw a joker...
I don't think you should be allowed to play jokers when it's not your turn.
I meant this is person answering the question. No, it's just about to open their mouth.
That's an exempt. No, that in the joker situation, if the question's been passed to someone else, I know doesn't come into it. Right, just say.
Of course it does, because if I can't answer, but Debbie goes, I know.
Well, you know not to pass it to her because she'll get the point.
Okay. Right. This could be interesting.
Indeed. Right. You see, you've got to be careful. Right then, so. Might want to keep your gob shut. Right then, Mary, so your question is going to be a yellow one, which is this one here. In Dalek, who did Blue Division security guards work for? You won't get this one.
You're right. So if I play my Joker, I get to pick somebody?
Yep.
Do we only get to play the Joker once?
Yep.
Okay, then I'm going to pick Debbie.
So, Debbie.
Dear God. I can't remember his name. Oh, my God. Henry Van Staten.
Ooh, my goodness. Rather incredible, Debbie.
Yeah, well, really. Done.
Now, I forgot to mention that the points so far in the episode, before we went on air, Kirby lost a point and Debbie gained a point. So Debbie is now actually on two because of that.
Should I go ahead and write down the quiz winner in the spreadsheet?
Oh, shut up. Right then. Next question goes to Smarty Pants Melrose. Oh, it's another yellow. It's another yellow one. So that means I have to move to a different card. Right. So this one, Debbie. What was the name of the Kral's home planet in the Fourth Doctor story, The Android Invasion? It's gone very quiet all of a sudden.
I remember The Android Invasion. I remember the episode, but I'm just trying to remember the plot, so I don't know. So I'll pass it on to Mary.
was going to say, you know, you'll get a point if you listen to me.
Yes, go on then, Mary. What's the name of the planet?
I don't know.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to play any sound effects there. Okay, so therefore Debbie gets that point. It was a Sidon.
What? Sorry?
A Sidon was the answer to that question.
Sidon.
Oh, Sidon. Okay. Yes?
Matt Master, do jokers also work the original way?
What do you mean? Well, you mean it disappears once you've... what do you mean? That doesn't double point.
If we are absolutely certain we know something.
Oh, yeah. If you're absolutely certain.
What?
No! If you don't know the answer, for goodness sake. If you don't know the answer, or you think another player won't know the answer, there's two ways of winning the point. So if you don't know it, you can still get the point by playing it onto another player. You don't think it's not that difficult, is it? Kirby.
No, wait.
Oh, good Lord.
Kirby.
I understand that version of doing it.
Yeah. We're not using the old-fashioned jokers. That's the new joker.
Yes. The new joker is to get points for questions you don't know the answer to, essentially. Yes?
Okay.
Right, your question is... It's a pink one. I think that's pink anyway. Right, your question is this. What got placed on Donna Noble's back during her visit to a strange fortune teller on Shan Shen?
It was... I'd like to do Joker. I was a spider, obviously.
Well, funny you should say that.
It wasn't
a spider.
I know it
You
wasn't.
Didn't play Joker, did you? So that's still intact.
No.
Okay. That's fine. It was the Time Beetle, everybody. Time Beetle.
Oh.
Yep.
Yes. So there's a point in the bonus pot. And this is the bonus point. So this is where you can come in with the I knows. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the I know question, I'll throw the dice, choose it, is this. It's a purple. What French lady links 1727, 1745?
I know.
Yes, Debbie?
Madame de Pompadour.
I can do a ding. Is the correct answer. That goes to zero.
Can I predict a winner?
No, shut up. Okay, the current scores are in last place with -1 is Kirby. In second place with 0 is Mary. And then the lead with...
Can I predict a loser?
Oh, shut up. Right, next question goes to... I've got the answers on view. Goes to Mary. We'll get the hang of this, everybody. We'll get the hang of it. Mary, your question is going to be an orange one. This is yours. What was the name of the famous immigration station in New York's Hudson Bay that Captain Jack had to pass through in 1892? Gone very quiet.
I know the real one was Ellis Island, but I don't know what it was there.
Oop. The correct
answer.
It
was Ellis Island.
Yeah, it was Ellis Island.
Well done, Mary.
Okay.
Right then, Debbie. Your question.
I had to really be quiet there because I wanted to shout out I know.
Keep the I knows for bonus pots.
Sorry, so I knew the real one.
Keep the I knows for bonus pots. Right, here we go. The other thing I forgot to mention, and I better not do that now, I'll bring that in future episodes. The other idea is that if you could also use the bonus pot to remove points from other players if they get it wrong. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
We've got a blue one.
If we answer a question correctly right off, do we get the usual 2 points?
1 point. Or 1 point off another player. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Debbie.
He's mean, listeners. He's mean.
What star did Wilf notice had disappeared first in the alternate world where Donna and the Doctor never met?
I don't know, the North Star?
I can finally get to play this. Nope. And that puts a point in the bonus pot. It was Orion.
That's not a star.
Orion's not a star, but that's what it says.
That's a constellation.
Orion is a whole constellation.
He was in my mind when you said star. I was
sorry.
Like, that's a constellation.
I don't know. Maybe it's in the script. I don't know. Kirby.
Yeah, you know, they were probably referring to Betelgeuse, which is a star in Orion.
Yes.
Whatever. Kirby.
Master.
You've got a... Is that green? I think that's green, right. A green one, which is, who does the 10th Doctor say control the army of Meanwhiles and the Neverwares?
What? Who's the... repeat?
Who does the 10th Doctor say control the army of Meanwhiles and the Neverwares?
The Joker sent it to Mary.
Oh, all right, there goes your Joker then, Mary.
Kirby just got a point.
He's got a point indeed, which means he's now on zero. Yes, the
there's now no longer Jokers. We can forget about that.
Yeah, you've used your Jokers. Yes. Correctly in that instance. Yeah, the answer was the could have been king. And there's a point in the bonus spot.
I'm confused.
Oh, for God's sake. Why? Hello?
Where's this from?
Where's what from?
This is when Rassilon's up against the Doctor, isn't it? Something like that?
I don't care. Anyway, that's the answer. Right then. Right, point in the bonus pot for this question.
I don't recognize the question or the answer.
Well, I'm sorry.
Not something that happens to me.
Hey, right, you have to Google it. Right then, the bonus pot question is this. It's
okay,
a blue one.
I will Google it. Give me that.
Does he have to do it now?
No, he doesn't. We're in the middle of a game. Carry on.
He's being naughty, isn't he, Debbie?
I'm not Googling anything. How come he's got Google up?
That's interesting.
I don't have Google up. Do you want me to take a snapshot of my screen?
No, I don't. You just want you to do your Googling after the quiz finishes. Right then. And I can't believe how patient I'm being, everyone. I think I deserve a point. I'm not going to get one. Right then. So this is the bonus pot question. Who created the painting The Pandorica Opens, the work of art that made its way across the universe to the 11th... What? What did he say?
I said I know.
Go on, then. What's the answer, then?
Van Gogh.
I wanted to see who was going to say it, right?
He would have not got that point if he hadn't said that correctly.
No, Van Gogh.
That's correct. Well done. Right, then. So the end of that round, we have two players, a second place at 1 point each, Mary and Kirby, and then the lead with four, it's Debbie. So there's plenty to play for.
Go ahead and write down... in the spreadsheet, Debbie.
Mary. This is your question.
Who?
Mary. In A Christmas Carol, what traditional festive song draws the small fish from the clouds as its music resonated with fog crystals? That's a difficult question, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah. Wow. I'll pass it to Kirby.
No, you can't now. If you don't know it, it just goes straight into the bonus pot.
Okay.
Oh, I can play this then. And it goes into
the... Once everyone's used their jokers, I mean, I don't know this one, but everyone's used their jokers, couldn't we now do the I know?
No. I knows are for the bonus pot only. You can't resist it, can you? I love this. You're in pain. Deny Kirby that I know. It's beautiful. Right. The answer was ding dong merrily on high. Ding dong merrily on high.
We sounded in choir. We had to sing it ting tong because it sounded more pure.
Okay. Debbie.
Yes.
On 4 points, you're going to get a question that... I just dropped the dice. Oh, it's blue. So you're going to get this question... What name given to them by Idris does Amy lend to a perfume to attract the Doctor's attention?
Oh, God.
God, no, I don't think it's that.
Was it the girl who waited?
It's going to be a...
I can see the poster, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. This is it. The girl who's something or other. I don't know.
Petriture. Yeah. It says here Petriture.
No, it's Petrichor.
Oh, Petrichor. Petrichor.
Yeah.
Yes, I wish that. Yeah. See, that's that. This is frustrating because
is it?
The some of us do know the answer.
Tough. There's 2 points in the bonus pot already, Kirby, and that's a bit of a game changer for certain people if they can get the question right. Anyway, this is your question, Kirby. It's going to be a orange one, which is this one. Where in the UK did Joan Redfern assume that Gallifrey was located?
I can't do a joker. It's Ireland.
The correct answer. Game changer for Kirby. 2 points in the bonus pot. And the question for everybody, and I just went all over my keyboard, it's a pink one. It is, what was the name of the road on which Rose and the Doctor encountered Chloe Weber and the Isolus child?
I've had this question before and I can never remember the answer.
Oh, is it all going quiet?
Nope.
Nobody knows. Okay, we'll play a... leave those in there. So, yeah, so the answer was Dame Kelly Holmes Close.
That
the
was it. 2 points
are still in the bonus pot. And, again, it becomes more and more of a game changer. More and more of you can win the game if you get the bonus pot right. Mary?
Yes.
Right, so you all forgot A, blue. On which planet do the Doctor and River Song spend their final night together?
No, it's not Trenzalore, is it?
It's a good guess.
No.
No, the answer was Deryllium, where a single night lasts 24 years. So 3 points in the bonus slot now. Game changer. Debbie. Oh, I've lost my dice. There it is. Green question for Debbie. Where in Lancashire were the Moraks imprisoned for war crimes? You're never going to get this one. You won't
Pendle
get
Hill.
This one. What do you say?
Pendle Hill.
Okay. What is that noise?
No idea.
Help me.
It's Mary then. Right, yeah, I'll give you that one. It says under Pendle Hill near Balehurst Craig.
No, I said Pendle Hill.
Oh,
there you
I
go.
Said I'll give you it. Well, I won't if you're going to be mean to me. Right. Okay, right then. Kirby, orange question for you. Australian actor Peter O'Brien starred in The Waters of Mars, but which of these Australian dramas did he not play a main part in?
I have no idea.
Well, hang on, it's multiple choice, so you've got a guessometer going on here. Right, the dramas that he didn't play a main part in, so you've got Home and Away, Flying Doctors or Neighbours. Now, which one did he not play a main part in?
I'm just going to pick one, Neighbours.
Yeah, it's a shame it's the wrong one, isn't it? No, it's Home and Away was the answer to that one, Kirby. But it's not all lost for you, Kirby. Not lost at all. There are now 4 points in the bonus pot. So the only person that can't win by getting the next question right is Mary.
Oh.
And it's a pink one.
Is this
one.
The last question?
It is if everybody but Mary get it right. Are you getting bored?
No.
He needs to Google that question.
I'm not Googling anything.
Right.
If I were to Google, I would have answered like the last two questions.
You know, I would hazard a guess, Debbie. I'd hazard a guess that. I would hazard a guess, Debbie, that Kirby's bickering with you. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, I did get that feeling. I'm not rising to it.
Oh dear, love it. Right, then, so at least a change. He's bickering with you and not with me. It's fantastic.
I'm
love
enjoying
it.
Myself. Right. To be with
Might
you.
Should give you a point for that, but you'll win the quiz. I'm not going to. Right then. 4 points for this question. When Donna and her family are sent to live in Leeds in a parallel world, what number house do they get rehomed in? Oh, God.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember that.
I've got a funny feeling that the points are going to stay in the bonus spot again for this round. So that's not bad. But anybody... Oh, nobody knows, do they? That's 29.
No, 25.
No, 29 was the answer. So 4 points stay in the bonus spot, and that keeps everybody in the game. Isn't this exciting, everybody? Yes.
No.
Oh, God. Right, Mary, you've got a yellow one. That's what she said. In which episode did Charles Dickens read the excerpts from A Christmas Carol to a captive audience, Mary? Is she still there?
I'm here.
Oh, you are. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't know.
Okay, it was The Unquiet Dead. So that puts another point in the bonus pot. Right, Debbie, this is to
Back
win.
Doctor Who was good.
This is to shut up, Kirby. It's still good. It's just different. Right then, Debbie, to win, you got a purple question.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor offered to take Amy and Rory to the very first Olympic Games as a wedding gift, but in which year did they take place?
Modern or classic?
I think that essentially the question is, what year did the very first Olympic Games take place? The
modern
very
or classic? Question is valid.
Well, it'd be 776 BC if it was classic, because I studied that at school.
You're such a smarty pants, aren't you? Yes, that is the correct answer, and Debbie wins!
Hey. I don't understand.
I think I've rather achieved something if Kirby can get through that quiz without understanding. It's fantastic. Right then. Before you say anything more,
Wait,
Kirby, I need to do the points.
I didn't get a question, and what about the bonus round?
Bonus round's done. If the points just stay there, once someone's reached six, end of game.
Okay, I missed that part. Someone reaches six, the end of game. Why didn't you say that?
First to six. I said that right at the beginning. The first person to six wins.
Yeah. Yep. Debbie got her last point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it doesn't matter about the... So basically the scores are in last place with a 1 point, Mary, in second place... third place with 2 points, Mary, in third place with 5 points, the bonus pot, and the winner with 6 points, Debbie. So there you go.
The bonus pot. Okay.
We could be in a situation that even though it's superfluous, the bonus pot could actually win but not win, if you know what I mean. So there you go. I'd rather enjoy that. I think that's really revamped the show. What do you think, Debbie?
It's refreshing but a bit confusing at the beginning. But
do
then
not say it's confusing. I can easily deduct points before I close this window down.
And please let me know that question that I completely don't understand.
Which one?
It was during the time, it was the one about Tenth Doctor and the King of Nowhere and his army.
Oh, God,
I've
got to dig
twits
through the blimmin' questions now. It was a green question, wasn't it?
I believe so.
No, that's not it. I think it was green. This is really great podcasting. Thanks, guys.
Never
this is fantastic.
Went.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not it. What did you say?
The armies
Neverwhere.
Of Meanwhiles and Neverwheres?
Yeah, something like that, but I'm trying to find it now. You're ruining my show by making me look of this lot. Can I do this off air?
Doctor, I'm pretty sure it was...
Yes, it was.
...Sid Rassilon and that episode.
I think you're right, David, but now I can't find the question.
That episode.
I'll look it up later, for goodness sake.
No, I found it.
Have you found it, have you?
Yeah.
Right, then I can move on to the feed that's come on the video. Alan T. Butcher said, I felt that any top 10 from me would be too superficial for the closely studied standards I try to maintain. Joe Briscoe says, Doc 10 tells the Master what happened in the final days of the Time War. And there's a clip attached to that particular post from YouTube. Alan T. Butcher says, Season 12 is, of course, a closely studied attempt to incorporate the concept of missing episodes within the meta-story of Doctor Who through... Can he not put punctuation in there somewhere? Through the rediscovery of only part of the Doctor's early days, leaving major gaps. This was a masterstroke, allowing the further recognition of the actual animated and other reconstructions of early episodes by use of the Irish recreation of the Doctor's early live to reflect that information being brought to us through a different medium. A full stop. Hey. By this new frame within which the show fits perfectly, Chris Chibnall has set the third decade of the 21st century as a whole new era while saluting the real-life developments in the history of the show. Thanks, Alan. Punctuation would be helpful. Joe Briscoe, I posted the link to the quote above. Thank you, Joe. And Lillian Robbins said, sorry I'm late. Not good enough, Lillian. Okay. Well, anybody got anything? Are you still confused, Kirby?
No.
Oh, good. But that's probably the longest.
What episode is it from, Kirby?
The End of Time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
It was something that, with everything that was going on, I just completely glossed over.
With iTunes gave it away one of their countdowns to Christmas around that time, and they gave away part one and two, and it was great. So I've seen that a lot.
I should really move on to news. Before I move on to news, or while it's loading, Fantasy Con, obviously there are events that are being shut down left, right and centre, including Wales Comic Con, much to our annoyance, because they've picked a date in which ironically is the same weekend as Fantasy Con was on last year, in which we at the moment have a wedding, but I've heard that the bride herself is wondering whether to postpone it or not. Think that by then that coronavirus will be sort of rather on the down rather than on the up in August. Anyway, back to FantasyCon.
Yeah, so, as far as FantasyCon, I think you will know.
Yeah. But I mean, we're going to carry on. But the problem we've got, because of coronavirus, Eventbrite, who are our ticket shop, have suddenly changed the parameters of how they're selling our tickets. So what they have been doing is giving us, so if we sell a load of tickets, they then at the end of that week pay the money that we've sold the tickets for, so therefore we can use that money on the event as we're organizing it, essentially, so paying deposits for things and stuff like that. I suddenly got an email for them saying, because of Kona, we've changed it to we'll pay you 5 days after the event, so that means we can't use Eventbrite as the shop for the tickets anymore. So we're now in the process of changing ticket shops. It doesn't mean anybody's bought a ticket for Eventbrite won't be valid, because essentially the site is still open. It just the tickets will be closed on that page until probably the day before the event, when we would probably get paid for those tickets 5 days afterwards. So like the last few tickets. So it's a bit of a pain in the to be fair, but we do have a ticket provider who is prepared to continue paying us weekly, and that will be set up this week. So it's a snag, and I know people are going to sort of say, oh, this is really confusing, but I can't do anything about it. We need the money from the tickets to fund the event leading up to the event, and then it funds itself. So, you know, until we get somebody who is some sort of multi-millionaire investor, we have to fund it the way fans would fund an event of this kind.
Give me a chance, right? I'll win the lottery one day.
So that's the day. It was basically going to change ticket shops, but it's still the same. I just wanted to make people aware that anybody who's bought a ticket through Eventbrite, those tickets are still valid. So that's fine. It's just that they're very naughty. And it's a pathetic reason to change the parameters. I'd wish I hadn't gone with them now. There you go. All right, Doctor Who news. There's releases coming up through what looks like BBC, Sunmaker's audiobook, the Visitation audiobook. Beautiful artwork on these, although they're sort of half artwork, half photographic. And there's also the Lethbridge Stewart books. There's very prolific, these Lethbridge Stewart stories, aren't they? There's lots and lots coming out. Doctor Who comes to Roblox. A set of Doctor Who virtual items are available for free this month from Roblox community to enjoy. BBC Studios and Roblox today announced the launch of a series of Doctor Who themed virtual items on Roblox, a global online platform bringing more than 115 million people together through play. Anybody heard of this before?
No.
115 million Can't people must have.
Bella Robbit, if she's on, blooming, if she gets her tech time.
Ah, okay.
She loves Roblox. It's been really good for actually educating her a few times, but I just don't approve of too much tech time.
Fair enough. Timeless Children official ratings. The conclusion of this year's series of Doctor Who, The Timeless Children, had an official rating of 4.69 million. Didn't quite reach the 5 million target, which is disappointing considering it was the series finale. I said that, not what the thing is, my comments on that. But it still had an appreciation index of 82, and the average viewing figures for 2020 now stands at 5.4 million, as opposed to 7.96 for the previous series. So, shame, innit? But what can you do? It's just this. I personally think it's just this era of television watching and stuff. I don't think it's mainly Doctor Who's fault. There were a couple of real duffers in that series, but there was also some gems as well. And I think Doctor Who fandom around the world, you know, if they could take that into consideration, would bolster the viewing figures up quite drastically. There you go.
Just like we talked about the The Prisoner of the Jadoon was such a like a hot story, and then everything that followed was so meh that they lost, you know, the momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. But that's the end of news for this week. And what I did forget to mention in previous episodes, so I best do that now while I remember, is I just wanted to recap on the currently announced guests for FantasyCon. Hopefully they won't get done in by certain viruses that are going around the world. Which obviously applies for all of us, really, doesn't it? The good thing about having things affected by viruses is that podcasts aren't, because we don't actually have to be anywhere near each other, do we, everybody? We can just sit in a room and quite safely and chat to each other.
We're keeping our social distance.
Yes. even in isolation, we can still do the show, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Unless one of us starts coughing.
Right then. So, guests, as announced so far for FantasyCon are Louise Jameson, Nick Joseph, Des O'Gorman, who is the one of the stage hosts. I'm hoping Bed Shoveler will be the other one. Sheila Reed, Michael Hembry, Gareth David Lloyd, Ross Sambridge, Kai Owen, Clive Mantle, Richard Oldfield, Cherie Houston, Fraser Hines, and Amanda Barry. So quite pleased with that list. There's still a couple of spaces left that I haven't announced yet, because I'm just waiting on yays or nays or nobody bothering to get back to me. And we'll fill those gaps with exciting talent. And that'll be it. There won't be anybody else. So we'll have the guest list in place well before October the 31st. I was actually asked to do a photography job on October the 31st. Duncan Lifton is our photographer at FantasyCon, and me generally sort of have this job between us, and neither of us are available. And the ironic thing was, I did email said person to the fact that FantasyCon was coming, and did she know any of her clients that might be interested in investing in it, and didn't get an answer. So there you go. Should pay attention to your email, shouldn't you? I'm just going to say that's it. So next time, I'm just checking my diary. It could be a next week. I'm hoping it is. Even though she, who must be obeyed, was moaning about the fact that I was doing the podcast today.
Is it whoandot.co.uk?
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Wait.
Oh, go on then.
You don't have sponsors?
I don't think Who Won has actually changed its thread since last week, but I will double check that for you.
They're a sponsor.
Monster Peladon. There's an audio book coming out. Doctor Who Magazine 549, which was already on there last week. And the Torchwood Complete Box Set, which you can actually see on iPlayer. All of Torchwood is available on iPlayer as well. But and the Sarah Jane Adventures Complete Box Set. Although it says actually on the website, Complete Box Set, because I couldn't fit the whole word of complete in that particular statement. Just going to see what's coming up. Thank you, Kirby, for that. I'm not telling you off or anything for not mentioning whoon.co.uk. Coming soon is exactly the same stuff as last week, including the Graham O'Brien figure. Of course, though, we've already heard that it's likely that the Christmas special is going to be Graham's last story. No spoilers.
It's in my contract to say whoon.co.uk.
No, you're not contracted to say that, but I do appreciate it. A verbal one, yes. Lavazzi, of course, again, I need to send them a blimmin'. Oh, I need to get a secretary, don't I? I really do need to get a secretary of the show. I need to send Lavazzi a request, but they make the best Doctor Who scarves you can get. Among those of other.
Absolutely. They make the best Doctor Who scarves you can win, too.
Although, what really annoys me, when I came out of work today wearing my said Lavazzi scarf, and a lady was walking into the shop with a child saying, "Oh, look, Harry Potter." How can I be walking out of the shop in a long dark coat wearing my flat cap and an extremely long scarf?
Where did you get your Harry Potter scarf I got the other week? And I was like, well, I got my Doctor Who scarf from Doctor Who
Donuts. Irritating, but there you go. That's Lavazzi for you. That was right. So next time is Mother's Day, but I don't think we're doing anything on Mother's Day evening. Debbie, are you doing anything on Mother's Day evening?
Anything Mother's Day evening?
Probably not at the moment.
Yeah. Is that a not? Or a, I'm sure I heard a yes.
Date, apparently.
So, okay. Well, She Must Be Obeyed was hinting for a week off, but I don't know if I'm going to achieve anything by having a week off. I feel the momentum may be dropping because I'm quite eager to get on with Ark of Infinity.
I am too, since I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So should we do that then?
Yeah.
On the 22nd at 7?
Yes. The clock's back on the 29th.
Yes, I know.
Or is it forward? I think it's forward, isn't it?
It's forward. Mm.
Yeah, forward. Spring forward.
Springboard. Thank you very much there, Mary. Oh, yeah, so it's 22nd. Ark of Infinity. We rejoin the journey with the second of Peter Davison's three series as the Doctor.
And it's the first of Colin Baker's stories.
Yes, it is indeed. Well done. You don't get any points for that, but it's really, really good. Right then, we got to Lillian Robbins says, my number one this series was Timeless Children. Last was Orphan 55.
Yay!
I do love the way that Lillian agrees with me, so I'm going to give her a ding for that.
Hey, Lillian, store them up.
Yeah. So that's it then. So until next week, thank you for listening, watching, and taking part in the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.